Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Hi, everybody. My name is TJ. I am the host of Out There, the program that really just asks a lot of questions, searches the unknown, just looks for answers. And I could be talking to anybody. You know, I really do have a fascination with ghosts and ghost hunting, and it's kind of become this very popular thing. And I'm glad to see it. I think a lot of people are taking a very scientific approach to ghost hunting. Before, we maybe didn't do that so much, but Shannon Riley is calling in from San Francisco. It's called San Francisco Ghost Society. I don't know if you're the founding member. Is that correct, Shannon?
I'm not a founding member, no. But I am a lead investigator with the team.
A lead investigator. And it was nice of him. I saw an email, and somehow I got in touch with Shannon and thought, what the heck? I'd like to talk to somebody on the West Coast. How are you doing today, Shannon?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's a little earlier here than where you are. So,
yes.
I might have morning voice, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. Now, you've been involved in ghost hunting for how long, Shannon?
Well, with the team for the past 2 years or so, but even before that, I've had a lifelong interest.
You know, that's what I wanted to ask you. How did you get involved in ghost hunting? What made you want to do this kind of thing?
You know, I have a real passion for it, and I've had some things happen to me in my life that I couldn't really explain, and I've always had a fascination with the paranormal. And, you know, it's just something I feel so strongly about and I'm so curious about that I sought out the San Francisco Ghost Society a couple years back and met with them, and they were gracious enough to take me on. And it's just been quite a journey. And again, it's just been a lifelong passion, something I just feel really strongly about and want to learn more about.
And why is it you think so many people are really interested? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that are really interested in this kind of thing.
It does. And I think in the past several years, we've kind of seen a resurgence in interest in the paranormal. I don't know if it's a cyclical thing, but you know, certainly we've seen with the TAPS team, the Ghost Hunters on television. And then also there's a few other new programs that have kind of spiraled out of that. There's, you know, Ghost Hunters International, and then there's also... oh, goodness, there's a few other shows.
Right, there's that Haunted Live one from Britain. You ever see that one?
That's right. I have seen that one. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think some of the shows tend to be a little too dramatic.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if they're doing that just because, you know, for the TV audience.
How do you feel about regular Ghost Hunters, those two fellows that started the Ghost Hunters? How's that? How do you feel about those?
We actually met them last year. They came to San Francisco to tape an episode, and we met them at the hotel they were staying at. Those guys are the real deal. I really feel that they're down to earth. They take it very seriously. They also have a good time, you know, while they're doing it, obviously, but they approach it from a scientific perspective. They're trying to gather evidence, and they were great. We had a really great time meeting them, and they were just really down to earth. And
that's the impression. I'm sorry, Shannon, but that's the impression I get. And I think, you know, I've talked to another gal that used to do some ghost hunting around this area, and she met him too and had the same thing to say. You know, I'm just trying to get different, you know, feeling on what who these guys are. None of us really know 100% for sure. Now, what do you think about the Ghost Hunters International?
You know, to be honest with you, TJ, I've only seen the show once, and so I can't really, you know, base too strong of an opinion on just that one viewing. But I have to say, if I'm going to judge, I'd probably prefer the domestic version.
Yeah, to me, something, I don't know what it is, it just doesn't sit right with me. Like, they're trying to make more out of something than there actually is. I mean, I'm guessing that's how you approach things. You're very careful what you consider actual evidence and what you don't. Is that correct?
We try to, you know, obviously it's difficult when you're going into someone's home. It's not really a controlled environment. And so we tend to rule out a lot of things that, you know, upon first glance or sight, you might think, oh, well, is that something paranormal? But, you know, we really try to control for that and try to make sure the evidence that we do collect is legitimate. And we definitely, you know, give a lot of thought to to what could and couldn't be, and we, a lot of times, unfortunately, we rule things out.
Right, and you know, and what I noticed on that show, and I've seen her international a couple of times, and I'm not saying I'm right about this. This is just my feeling. They seem to go a lot on, oh, I'm feeling something. Did you feel that? Yes, I felt it. And I mean, that's nice. You may actually have something, but I like the way that Jason and Grant do it. It's like if they don't catch an EVP, if they don't catch something on film, they might consider something they felt or saw. But they really focus a lot on the electronic evidence.
Right, and the, and for those personal experiences, you know, with Jason and Grant, if they experience something personally and it hasn't been documented, then they won't include it. You know, they won't say when they're doing the reveal to the client, well, your place is haunted based on just personal experiences.
Yeah, that's and in this kind of business, you know, I'm, there's always going to be skeptics. There's going to be people that maybe make fun of you. Do you run into that at all, Shannon?
You know, we really haven't. I don't know if it's the city we live in. It's a pretty open-minded, liberal city. I don't know if that's part of it. You know, initially when I first was telling folks that I joined the team, you know, kind of folks outside the area. I have family back on the East Coast, a lot of friends. I wasn't sure how they'd react, but you know, it's been pretty much 100% universally positive. Everyone's really excited about it. I think sometimes more excited than I am. So
that's awesome.
It's really great. My dad in particular is super excited about it. He watches ghost hunters all the time, and he's always sending me equipment.
Really? So, he's sending you, he buys you new equipment so you can use it, right?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Now, let me ask you this.
He loves it.
On a deeper level, maybe, why do you think so many of us are really intrigued by this? Do you think this is part of an answer? Obviously, it's an answer as to who we really are. I mean, we try to find out some of these answers of the unknown. Is that why we're driven for this kind of thing?
I think most folks want to know if there's life after death. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think we all want to have assurance that this isn't it, that this isn't the end, that once our body dies, that the soul carries on and there's something after this.
And your impression, since you've been involved in this for a while, what do you think happens to us? I mean, there's a couple of things that happen, but what would be what you feel goes on after we pass away?
You know, I think our earthly body kind of goes back into the ground. You know, whether you're buried or
burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to put that in a nice way. I think there's a part of us that that is spiritual. I think we all have a soul, and I think that soul lives on after the body dies. And you know, some folks believe in reincarnation. I know there's some major religions around the world that believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks believe we may come back in another body with maybe no memory of our previous life or some kind of vague.
How do you feel about that? Is that something you believe in? Is that too personal a question? Do you mind answering that?
No, I don't mind answering that. I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be honest with you. I've read some stories about reincarnation that sound pretty convincing, but then I've also read stories of pretty much, you know, charlatans who were just creating a grand,
right,
a grand grand fiction. I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry to kind of skirt the question.
No, that's fine. I'm always curious, and I'm going to ask a million questions, and I just want to see what people think and feel, because I want to understand why you do this. And so what happens to us after we die that we become ghosts? What is your explanation on that?
Well, you know, I've read a lot about this, and, you know, I think a lot of what I've read has basically said if you die in a tragic way, if it's an accident, a murder, or something along those lines where you were totally unprepared and caught off guard, I think there's some confusion, and so you know, your spirit or ghost remains wondering what happened, or not even realizing they're dead a lot of times, and still remaining on this earth and trying to communicate with their loved ones. Or then I've also considered the fact that someone may pass away who still had tasks left do on this earth, and they're still trying to get them done or get a message to somebody. I don't know that anyone really knows the answer, but I think those are some pretty interesting.
And then also, I'm sorry, Shannon, but there's also, like, I hear the term all the time, residual haunting.
Yeah, there are different types of hauntings. A residual haunting is almost like a film being played back.
So it's almost like we left an energy imprint, and nobody is there. Nobody's there at the time. We're just seeing like this fossil. We're picking up a leaf. We see this fossil. Who knows when it took place, but it's still there. It's like an energy imprint.
Exactly. It's like there's this energy that's stuck in this area, and it kind of plays itself back over and over like a film strip.
And that would that be related to maybe something tragic, that emotional, that made that imprint?
Sure, it definitely could. I mean, there's emotion involved in everything we do almost on a daily basis. And when you leave, if you're experiencing really strong emotions, I believe those emotions can sort of get collected in the area that you've been in, and that emotion stays there. It doesn't necessarily have to be tragic, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Just something that really maybe touched your emotions. We're going to take a break. My guest is Shannon Riley. He's with the San Francisco Ghost Society, and he is an actual ghost hunter. And we'll find out about some of his experiences coming up in just a moment on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There.
Okay, welcome back to the program, and our guest today is the zombie.
Brains.
The zombies are here,
Brains.
and what is it you'd like to tell everybody? You know, there's probably something new, like a... Let me do this. We'll do a little game here. All right. When I say a word, you tell me what the first thing that comes to your mind. All right? Food.
Brains.
Meal.
Brains.
Hungry.
Brains.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. We'll be back with more in just a moment here. Thank you.
It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out there.
My guest is Shannon Riley. He is originally from Connecticut, I believe you told me. Is that where you're from, Shannon?
That's correct. I'm from southeastern Connecticut originally.
And then what made you go out to Frisco?
Oh, man, I drove out here about 10 years ago with a couple of friends, just hopped in a car, drove cross-country with basically the clothes on my back, and that's about it. Didn't have a job or a place to live, but I knew I wanted to live in California.
So what do you do now out in Frisco? What kind of living do you make?
Professionally, I'm a project manager, and I'm also a voiceover actor.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. So you have a couple of different sidelines, and then in your free time, you go out and how often do you do, like, ghost hunting?
We'll have a case generally about once every 2 to 3 weeks. And so depending on everyone's availability, we've got about 10 people on the team. We'll send maybe 4 to 6 people on a case depending on how large the residence is.
Now, I know some ghost hunting teams will actually send like a medium with them. Do you have anybody that does that? Or
we have a psychic on the team. She's fantastic. Her name is Annalisa, and it's a talent that she's had all her life. And
now, when you say psychic, Shannon, sorry to interrupt you again, because there's a lot of definitions. You mean she can just kind of sense things or feel things?
Her name is Annalisa, and she, from my understanding, she is able to communicate with the dead. She's able to receive messages. The way she described it to me is that it's almost like a film strip playing in her head, and she can see these images and is able to gather information from these images and convey it to us. And
does she hear?
She's actually,
does she hear voices as well? Then, or
no, I don't believe she does. I don't know that she's heard voices.
Now, see, I've heard about these kind of things. Some people can pick up voices. Some people can pick up like an image and try to describe that. So, I mean, it certainly is something that's. Some people may be listening right now and go, I don't believe that. But I've heard of these kind of things before. And
yeah.
It's just really a choice of whether or not. You say that she's really helped you on your cases.
She has. You know, Annalisa is very intuitive. And we've gone in on several cases, and she's been able to discern things that, you know, the rest of us really can't with the naked eye or naked ear, as it were. And she's definitely been able to kind of pick up on things that we all aren't. And then what we'll find is actually when we're delving a little deeper and doing some background on a particular area, we find that she's actually been very accurate.
Hmm. Can you name a, for instance, offhand, maybe a case that you don't mind talking about?
Well, I should mention, TJ, that one of the things that we do with the Ghost Society is whenever we conduct investigations, we always communicate to the client that the case is going to be private. So we generally don't mention names or specific locations, but we do talk, you know, kind of in general terms about our cases. And so, you know, we just want to communicate to people that, you know, we're not going to be showing video of you on television or on the web and, you know, just kind of put people at ease. Because
right.
I think initially folks are a little nervous about contacting us to begin with. I definitely think there's still kind of a stigma, so to speak, about this and about this this area of interest. And so we definitely try to put people at ease and let them know that their cases are going to be private.
So there's really nothing you can go into, you're telling me, right? You can't really... long way of saying that, sorry, TJ, that we can't do that. I totally understand that, Shannon. Let me ask you on a personal level, if you don't mind talking about it.
Sure.
You told me you had some experiences. This is kind of what got you into this. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing some of those maybe bizarre things that happened to you at a different time in your life?
No, I don't mind at all. I've been here in San Francisco for about 10 years now, and I had... I moved into a new apartment about 8 years ago. It was actually brand new construction, built behind a church here in San Francisco. And from the moment I moved in, I started seeing little black shadows kind of skittering across the floor out of the corner of my eye. And, you know, I wasn't really sure what they were at first. I thought, well, you know, could be mice or who knows what, bugs, you know. But then my roommate started seeing them, and then one night we were watching television, and we both saw them at the same time out of the corner of our eye. And he turned and looked at me and said, "Did you see that?" Yeah, I did. He said, "Oh, I've been seeing that for the past 3 months, ever since we moved in." And, you know, just totally bizarre. No real explanation for it. I knew it wasn't, you know, light, you know, refraction of light or rodents. There were a couple of other interesting things that took place in that apartment with a neighbor right next door to us. We shared a wall, and she and her husband would say, "Man, your music was really loud last night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We could hear the music kind of vibrating through the wall." And I would say, "Well, that's funny, because, you know, there were times when we weren't home, or you know, we'd already been asleep for several hours." So just kind of weird. No explanation for that. And what I didn't really understand was that this is a brand new building. You know, so there wasn't really any history with the building itself, although there's a possibility that the land that it was built on could have had something happen, you know, over the years. Maybe there's some kind of, like, energy that was still stuck there.
Still hanging around in that area. Now, this is some of the earliest experiences. Did you have going beyond that, like when you were a kid or anything like that?
Oh, sure. I had stuff, you know, stuff that went on in my parents' house. I remember one of my earliest memories. This story actually sounds really, really ridiculous. And a lot of times I don't even believe it because it just sounds so ludicrous. I remember one of my earliest memories is laying in bed as a child and trying to go to sleep, and the whole house is dark and quiet, and I've got the covers over my head. You know, because when you're a child, I think you're kind of scared of the dark anyway.
Yeah, did the same thing.
But I was laying on my stomach trying to go to bed, and I felt a poke in my back. Something poked me real quick and just said, "Boo." And, you know, I'm an only child. I didn't have any brothers or sisters, so I knew that it wasn't a sibling trying to mess with me.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, your parents wouldn't do that to you in the middle of the night.
No, you hope not. You hope not.
You would hope not. I didn't have those kind of parents, so they wouldn't have tortured me like that. But, yeah, that was one of my earliest memories, you know, and it stayed with me to this day. And, you know, I wasn't dreaming. I was definitely awake. And no idea. I have no idea why or how or what. You know, so many questions about it and other things. And just very bizarre.
Now, I'm sorry, Shannon. I was just going to ask you, do you feel that it was, do you ever look back and think maybe it was a family member or maybe it was somebody that was left over in that house? Or do you ever contemplate what that might have been?
You know, I at that point in my life, I hadn't really had any close family members pass at that time. It definitely could have been, somebody who had been in that house prior and was coming back to investigate. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I hate it when you got those mysteries you can't solve.
Yeah.
It's nice if you can wrap it all up nice and neat, but that doesn't usually work out.
Yeah, but then the nature of this business is there aren't a lot of answers like just kind of laying right out in front for you, you know?
You know, well, it's like I've had some personal experiences in my life, and you kind of get an idea that you think maybe it's a loved one, you know, visiting you. There was a time I went camping with my wife, and we had this lantern turn on in the middle of our campground that we were at. It did it twice. The second time was when we captured it, because we woke up at one time, and the light was just on, and it's midnight, and I knew I'd turn it off. It would have been light in the tent. And then a year later, pretty much in the same area, this thing turned off. It was turned on when we woke up. So then I went and I shut it. I said, well, you got to go pee? And she said, yeah, okay. So we went to the outhouse. We came back. I laid it right next to us this time because it was over in the corner. There was no way I thought I turned it on. So I said, if this thing turns on this time, we're going to know, and I'm going to freak out, and I'm getting tired, and blah, blah, blah. I'm still kind of talking. She is awake the whole time. She hears noises outside the tent like somebody's walking around. I'm just starting to pass out. I'm right on the edge. And then click. And that there's no way you can do it. And that it's going to turn on by itself. I don't care humidity, whatever. It just isn't going to do that. It's never done it again. And it turned on by itself. So you know, and you know, others have told me that they kind of hang around in some areas. And once they make contact with somebody, they try to keep doing that. Have you heard that kind of thing?
That's very true. You know, and those are intelligent hauntings. That's when you've got a ghost or a spirit who can actually kind of respond to you. Or try to interact with you.
And I thought maybe it was my mother because she had just passed away earlier that year, so I kind of put it to that. But who really knows what it could be?
Yeah, right? You know, it very well could have been. Maybe she was coming back to just let you know that she was okay.
Maybe she's trying to scare the hell out of me, too.
That, too.
Maybe I ticked her off, you know. Who knows? Actually, none of that's probably the case. But Shannon Riley of San Francisco Ghost Society is my guest this week on Out There. And we'll continue this in just a moment.
Out there.
Okay, back on the show, and our guest today is the zombie. Now, how do zombies ever come about? I've always been curious. What is it like the undead? Are you dead and then you come back to life? What's your answer to that?
Brains.
Okay. That doesn't really explain anything, though. You just keep saying the same thing over and over. So, can you maybe give us a little more detail?
Sure. Brains.
All right. This is kind of a shorter interview. Brains. Yeah, we're kind of done with this guy.
Brains.
What are you looking at? You look like you're hungry or something.
Right.
Hey, now let go. Hey!
It's out there.
Back on Out There, my guest Shannon Riley. He is with San Francisco Ghost Society. He's actually from the East Coast, but he moved out west and he never left. And apparently you love it out there, don't you, in Frisco? Huh?
I absolutely love it. It's a great city, great people, and fantastic food, by the way.
I bet it is.
You can eat at a different restaurant every day of the year and still not hit them all.
Now, you were telling me between the breaks that there is a friend of yours that had a pretty, or he passed away, actually. You have a story to tell about that. Then we'll talk more about the society. But what happened with a friend of yours passed away?
Yeah, we had my mother's best friend. Her son passed away about 20 years ago now. And he was kind of a troubled kid. He was struggling with alcohol and drugs, and his parents were kind of at their wit's end. They didn't really know how to handle him. He had been in and out of rehab, in and out of juvenile hall. And one night, he drove his motorcycle into a tree and died instantly. And, of course, everyone was just, you know, heartbroken. I mean, he was inherently a good kid, just struggled with all these issues. And so my mom's best friend and her husband, they had just sold their old house and were moving into a new house. And he started showing up at the new house. They would wake up in the middle of the night hearing noises And they had dogs, too. And so dogs, you know, are very sensitive, and they often will bark and jump up at the slightest thing. But they heard some noises downstairs, so they wandered downstairs, and someone or something had taken the screen out of the window in the mudroom and laid it next to the window. Meanwhile, the dogs are down there, sound asleep. So that's odd. The dogs didn't wake up, and someone had removed the screen from the window. Then they heard this loud crash, and they ran up to their other son's room. And his bookcase, which was huge, you know, against the wall, full of books, had fallen over on its side. And, of course, their other son was scared to death, not really knowing what was going on. Well, these were strange events. And then she would come home from work and drive up the driveway and look upstairs to the very top window that was kind of overlooking the front yard. And she would see her deceased son in the window looking down at her.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And then she was having some work done in the house, and the man she hired to do the contracting was best friends with her son who had passed away. And he was doing work one day upstairs, and my mom's friend was in the kitchen doing her thing. And he came running down white as a sheet, and he said, "I just saw him upstairs."
Oh, man.
And she said, "Well, I see him all the time." So that was, you know, that was really interesting and probably one of the more kind of creepy but also comforting at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to explain. I mean, when you witness something like that, I guess the first thing you do is freak out. But then I guess upon closer reflection, you kind of see it as comforting.
You know, I remember one time, it was back in the late 90s. I looked in the bedroom where my wife was sleeping, and I would get up extra early because I worked the morning shift, real early morning. And there was a spirit bent over her, almost looking right at her. And I just dismissed it away as some kind of weird lights, you know, shining in through the window, because I thought the car went by and it just disappeared. And it took me a while to go back. And then we would hear noises. I heard a coffee cup slam down when I was walking out the kitchen door. Somebody was making a racket in the kitchen when I was taking a shower. And my wife was downstairs sleeping the whole time. I thought it was her at first, you know. And those kind of things would go on in this house. So we knew there was something there. But here for the longest time, I saw this spirit leaning over her bed, the full body. And I thought, well, it's the lights from our car coming across the bedroom window, you know. We're kind of like in a basement. But then I realized there's no way the lights would have been able to shoot across the bed like that. So right. I started thinking about that. I only would have saw the top half. The bed would have cut off the bottom half. And it took me a while to realize that. Now, if I'd have had you, I could have called you. And you would have come down and said, well, TJ, did this happen? So, you know, there's a lot of things. And, one of the reasons I do this show is that there are many people out there that have had things happen. And maybe it's nothing. But they're afraid to talk about it. And I just want people not to be afraid. Because maybe they did see something. And maybe there's a lot of truths out there that we're not aware of. And the only way we're going to move forward is if we talk about them. Let's talk about San Francisco Ghost Society. Tell us a little bit about this and how we can contact you. I'm guessing nobody from where I'm at right now, but who knows who's going to be listening to this podcast. So,
you never know.
That's right. So
we are the San Francisco Ghost Society. We're actually based here in San Francisco, but we're a member of the Taps family. We actually became a member of the Atlantic Paranormal Society this year.
So that is the one that you would see on the Sci-Fi Channel, right?
Right. Okay. So the Ghost Hunters, Grant and Jason and those guys, they are a member. They founded TAPS. And they welcomed us into their family. And so now, in addition to getting cases on our own, we'll also get cases directed to us from the TAPS team. You can actually look at our website. We're at sfghostsociety.org. And we are a free service, and you can contact us through our website. We are very thorough with our investigations. We definitely want to get as much background as possible. We'll send you a questionnaire. If you're experiencing things, you can fill it out. We'll do what we call a walkthrough, where a couple members of the team will go and meet the client and walk through their home or place of business, because we have had a few businesses, actually. And just kind of get a feel for what's going on and interview the client further. And as I mentioned, it's free. We're all volunteers, and we do this in our off hours, you know, because we all hold down jobs. And, you know, we do it because we love it, and we're very passionate about it.
Now, do you use a lot of the equipment that we would see on the show Ghost Hunters, a lot of the same equipment?
We do. We have EMF meters, which measure electromagnetic fields. And we also have video cameras, digital cameras. We've got digital thermometers. We use audio recorders, which we've picked up EVPs, which are electronic voice phenomena. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we definitely use a lot of the same equipment. Of course, we don't have the budget that they do.
Yeah. Now, wait a second. I got a question about their show. They have to get paid for doing that. How can they travel from one end of the country to the other? They must be getting paid to do some of that because they're on the Sci-Fi Channel, right?
You know, you would assume that, TJ. I'm not sure that anyone on a Roto-Rooter salary could do what they do and, you know, pay for the investigations and the equipment and the flights. And I think Sci-Fi is taking care of them.
That's what I would assume. But here it still shows them. This is what always kind of cracked me up. And my wife would say, well, if they're doing this, all this stuff, why are they still working at Roto-Rooter?
Right.
They got a show on TV. And I thought, yeah. Well, it's probably just part of the show. That part maybe is a little fictional, but the rest part, I think, I've always felt it's pretty accurate. So if we want to contact you, you have a website. Is that probably the best way to go?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. The website, sfghostsociety.org. We would love to hear from you. If you have any stories, we've also got a section where you can actually go ahead and tell us your stories, what's been going on. If you're not in the San Francisco Bay Area, we'd still love to hear.
You'd willing to travel to Michigan, right?
Oh, sure.
It's just a weekend jaunt. You don't mind? We're in Upper Michigan, so it's actually a little closer. You wouldn't have to go all the way down to Lower Michigan.
So. Oh, and you're going to cover our flights, right, TJ?
Oh, yeah. We'll just put it on the credit card.
Okay,
perfect. The company credit card where I work at, not mine. But I will. Well, I wish you the best, and I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to talk to me. Obviously, you can't go into investigations too much, I'm guessing, so I was hoping you'd tell me a little bit about that, some freaky things you might have found. But you really can't discuss that, can you?
Well, I can tell you a few generic items. Again, as I mentioned, because we respect our clients' privacy, we don't really go into names and places. But, you know, we have come up with a few EVPs, which were kind of surprising to us. We were in this one home down kind of towards the beach here in San Francisco, and we picked up a young girl's voice, and there was no young girl living in the house. So that was kind of strange. We've experienced knockings and raps on walls.
Have you heard, like, anything like, say, that was really creepy? Get out.
No. Fortunately, I probably would have gone running.
But, I mean, maybe you didn't pick it up at the time, but when you listen back, what are you doing here? Leave me alone. You never heard anything
We actually haven't come up with anything that creepy.
Okay.
We did actually take an interesting photo. One of the members on our team, Sharon, she's really good with the tech equipment. She took a photo of a room from the hallway. And the first shot she took, because she always takes several shots, kind of as, you know, she'll take some control shots, and that way if something shows up, we'll have something to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
So she took a shot of this one room and took another shot immediately afterwards. And in the second shot, there was this enormous black mass in the room that wasn't caused by, you know, a shadow or light. It was really interesting, and we couldn't really explain it. It was actually pretty creepy, and what had gone on in that house, you know, there, I guess the previous owner had passed away in the home, and then also the current resident later admitted to us that they were dabbling in witchcraft.
No.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, TJ, I think during our break, you know, a lot of times we'll go and we'll, you know, we go to document and we try to get EVPs, we try to get video proof. And, you know, it's ghosts don't perform on command.
No.
So,
nope.
You know, a lot of times we come away with not a lot of evidence. And it can be frustrating because, you know, that's what we're going there for. We want to go and we want to collect evidence. And we're all very passionate about it. And we all want something to happen. But, you know, as you've seen even on television with Jason and Grant and the TAPS team, you know, a lot of times you don't get much.
Nope. And I've talked to some other ghost hunting teams. There's a group up here that did it. They said the same thing. So at least that part of it we know is consistent. If you guys are all making this up, at least your stories are all the same, and we don't have to. But I really am fascinated with this as well. Shannon Riley with San Francisco Ghost Society. You go to what is the website again, please?
It's sfghostsociety.org.
And you can check them out. And if you have something you want to share with them, and if you're listening in a different part of the country and not far from there, how far will you guys go to investigate something?
Well, you know, as part of the TAPS team, we have recently extended our region beyond San Francisco proper. So now we kind of handle the whole Bay Area. So we go north, we go south, we go a little east. Michigan might be a little far, but we might be able to work something out.
Well, maybe you can find another TAPS member to come this direction. It's really a joy talking to you. Shannon Riley, nice to meet you, Shannon, and continued success in your ghost chase.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks so much for having me.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.